News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Today on Taoiseach Micheál Martin begins a two-day official visit to Belém in Brazil to attend the COP30 Leaders Summit. And I'm joined now by Jessica Woodlock, News Talk reporter in Belém. Good morning to you, Jessica. Although I'm not quite sure what time it is where you are at. Tell us what's happening today on the agenda. Good morning.
Hi, Ciara.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Good morning. So world leaders have been arriving, Ciara, over the last few hours and days, as well as some of the official delegations and obviously the world media as well. There's a huge police presence around here. Last night, just outside the conference centre, there were military tanks, armed police and lots of police officers on motorbikes as well. And that's because, of course, we're expecting around 60 heads of state to turn up here this morning. So that includes, as you mentioned, Taoiseach Micheál Martin and others like Britain's Prince William as well. So they'll start their morning here with an opening ceremony, and then we'll be getting national statements. So Taoiseach Micheál Martin will speak on behalf of Ireland, and we're expecting him to mention things like Storm Éowyn, the work Ireland has done to reduce emissions. And he's also, I understand, going to call for increased political willingness on climate change. He's then going to attend lunch with the Brazilian president, who are obviously the host country, and they're going to push for funding for the Amazon rainforest. So the next 2 days of this leader summit are sort of setting the tone for where countries are coming from on climate change. But also delegates will really be looking to get a feel on the ground for where the mood is on certain issues.
And the mood, Jessica, is it possible to tell what it is like there? Obviously, the United States, for example, has moved away from a climate-focused agenda in recent times.
So I would say there is optimism going into this COP. You know, previous COPs have been plagued by issues of oil and lobbying and human rights issues in some places as well, depending on where the host country was. So this one definitely has a bit more optimism around it. It's being framed as one of implementation. So that follows on from COP29, which was known as the finance COP. So this year, delegates are really hoping for less talking and more action. So we're likely to see sort of policy outlines and moves on those agreements that were made last year.
Jessica Woodlock, News Talk reporter in Belém, thank you very much for joining us. And for more on this, I'm joined now by George Monbiot, environmental journalist and campaigner. George, I don't know if you could hear what Jessica was saying. She is in Brazil this morning. Do you share her subtle optimism about what's going to come out of COP30?
Look, we've had 29 of these meetings so far, and we really have not cracked this problem. There's no question that the Brazilian government is acting in good faith here, but unfortunately, many of the other world's governments are not. While the US is not participating directly, we know it will be putting pressure on governments not to sign up to anything significant. Not that most of them need much urging, because they're not that inclined anyway. It's like, let's leave this huge existential issue for someone else to deal with.
Okay, so you have a far more bleak take on it. The US, I mentioned to Jessica that it has pivoted away from being an instrument that even seems to believe in climate change at this point. That does sway many people, considering its willingness to use economic levers against people that it is trading with in order to facilitate that trade, things like tariffs. Do you think that that will be the elephant in the room during this conference?
Well, we certainly saw that a few days ago with its torpedoing of the shipping emissions agreement, where the rest of the world was just about to sign up to cleaner shipping fuel, and Trump waded in and threatened sanctions against countries that signed up to it, threatened trade tariffs and other measures, and they caved. It's the sort of economic bullying that has become his trademark. So, yes, I do worry that if people did come up with anything really world-changing at this summit, Trump would try to stop that. But sadly, I don't think that danger arises, because I don't think that's on anyone's agenda.
Okay. I know you've said before, George, that you think one of the fundamental weaknesses of COP is the need for consensus.
Yes. The way it was set up, and this was in direct response to lobbying by the oil states, was that no decision could be made unless every single country signed up to it. And what that means in effect is that any one country has a veto over the entire process. And there have been many times in the past when it looked as if agreement could be struck, but one or two or three countries held out against that and prevented the much more action-focused approach that we so desperately need. It's clear this process is not working. And one definition of madness is doing the same thing over and again and expecting different results.
I am interested, though, in what the alternative might be.
Well, there are some very interesting proposals put forward to how you could better run meetings like this. And one of them actually is by Ireland's De Border Institute. So this is should be a source of national pride to you in Ireland, because they've come up with some really fascinating democratic innovations in the name of the great, 18th century democratic innovator, De Border. And they've suggested some just far more effective, action-focused, democratic ways of making decisions in forums like COP and elsewhere. And I would love people to take a look.
I was trying to work out what the alternative might be, and I was thinking to myself, well, supposing it was majority, but that would be fine. But then how would you, I suppose, impose that majority rule on countries that didn't want to, that are sovereign, didn't want to sign up to it?
Well, it has to be, so to speak, a coalition of the willing. And you know what we've seen is that the minority of countries not wanting to sign up to anything effective have effectively prevented everyone from signing up to something effective. So it's better if they stand aside than if they drag everyone else down.
Just maybe lastly, George, what do you think is the main obstacle, I don't mean the US, but in terms of mindset, the main obstacle or stumbling block for countries getting on board with implementing, I suppose, changes in policy that would improve climate change? Why are people hesitant? Is it all down to money?
It's the political power of incumbent industries, of the fossil fuel industry, transport industry, livestock industry, all of which are pouring money into the hands of political parties, using their influence in the media, in the junk tanks, in other lobbying operations to stop any effective action from being taken.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on that somber note. That is George Monbiot there, environmental journalist and campaigner.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.